You're back with Total Information AM with Tom Ackerman. I'm Megan Lynch. An entertainment empire has pulled back a legal argument over public backlash. Let's talk about that and other legal news with KMOX legal analyst Brad Young, partner at Harris Dow Fisher & Young. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Megan.
Well, Disney had claimed that a man could not sue over the death of his wife at a restaurant because of terms he agreed to for a free trial of Disney's streaming service. Talk about that case and whether that argument by Disney would have held up in court.
Well, this really was a captivating argument. In fact, it got a lot of publicity, which ultimately, I think, led to the decision by Disney yesterday. But here's the setup. There was a woman, she happened to be a physician. She was dining at a restaurant at Disney World, and she had to have a nut-free, dairy-free meal because of her severe allergies. The waiter assured her that it was nut-free and dairy-free. Turns out that it wasn't. She went into shock. She had to use an EpiPen, and she unfortunately passed away. So when her estate filed suit, Megan, the position that Disney took was that since she took out a free trial of Disney Plus, I think it was in 2019, that she agreed to that terms of service that we all skip when it says, do you want to read through the terms of service? None of us read those. I don't read those. She skipped past it. But in there was a mandatory binding arbitration clause. The importance of that, Megan, is that it takes the case out of a circuit court, out and away from a jury, and allows an arbitrator to render a decision. There was universal outrage here at this position that you could subscribe to Disney Plus and now you can't sue Disney for any reason. I mean, I think there's 150 million Disney Plus subscribers. So Disney backed off of that because of the backlash. I believe it was PR. And they said now, as of yesterday, they will allow the case to go to court.
Oh, my gosh. So all these cases vary, Brad. I mean, should we be reading fine print more carefully in general?
Well, Tom, I think there was a legitimate legal issue here about whether or not this would have even worked in court. It's never been tested, but it raises a unique legal issue, and that is, can a binding arbitration agreement in one area that is completely separate and distinct from another area, can it be binding? So can a streaming channel service bind you in a situation where you're dining at a restaurant? Those issues have never been raised before. I think it would have been a very tough sell for Disney to take that argument and to have that argument stick. But at this point, we won't know.
I know earlier this year, Brad, we had a lot of conversations about the case where Michigan parents were sentenced to prison for not doing enough to stop their son in connection with a school shooting that was deadly. I think four people were killed in that. Now, this week, a jury in Texas acquitted the parents of a teen who killed 10 classmates. So what was the difference in these cases?
Yes, that's right. I mean, in fact, the Crumbleys, that was the case in Michigan. I believe they were sentenced just earlier this year, Jennifer and James Crumbley. But the issue that came up in Texas was very similar. A child shot people at school, and there was an attempt to hold the parents responsible. Now, this case in Michigan, Megan, first time that it had ever been tried and first time it had ever been done. And so this is the second attempt at this in Texas this week. And a jury came back and acquitted the parents. And if you look at the evidence, certainly it was an evidence-based decision here because there wasn't the same level of evidence in this Texas case that we all saw in the case in Michigan where the child was drawing pictures of a gun and was giving an indication that he had an intent to harm people. And so you have that different facts. And when you change those facts, it makes all the difference. But the other big question here, and I had this about the Michigan case, is since the shooter, Ethan Crumbley, was charged as an adult, the question becomes, can you then hold parents responsible for the actions of a child when that child has been adjudicated by the court as being an adult? That's still a question in that Crumbley case that's going to be answered on appeal.
Finally, Brad, former President Donald Trump is accused of posting AI-generated images of Taylor Swift supporting his candidacy on his Truth Social account. Now, does she have any legal recourse against Mr. Trump or his campaign with this?
Well, again, this is a fascinating question, Tom. And the reason why I think this question is fascinating is because it deals with a clash of ideas, a clash of rights. Because first of all, tech doesn't have rights. People do. So we're talking about AI. But political speech, along with religious speech, enjoys this highest degree of protection under the First Amendment. So one can say, well, you have a right to political speech, including publishing anything you want. On the other hand, Taylor Swift has what's called a right of publicity, that you own the rights in your image and you can protect and dictate under what terms those can be used. So you have these two rights that are clashing here in AI in a way that's never been done before. It used to be done with cartoons, but we all saw the cartoons and knew that it was not real. Now with AI, there's a big question, and the resolution of that clash, Tom, is what the courts are going to have to do.
Well, one of the posts, Brad, that was shared by Trump was reportedly satire. We've talked about satire before. Does that cover Trump legally in some ways?
It does, to an extent that it's obvious that it would be satire. I mean, for example, there was also a picture that was circulated. I believe it was Vice President Harris, and it appeared that she was speaking in front of a communist or a Soviet group of a meeting, a group of people. And so you look at that and you can say, well, that's obvious that that's satire. But with the AI imagery of having someone endorse somebody, the question becomes, is it obvious to the viewer that it's satire? And satire is protected under the Copyright Act, but if it's not obvious, I'm not sure that the courts are going to violate the right of publicity when the satire is not obvious.
Brad Young, our KMOX legal expert, it's always great to have you on, partner at Harris Dell Fisher and Young. You have a great day.
Tom, it's always a pleasure.